It's time for our second feature now. Blunsdon still attracts visitors from across the world, thanks to its literary connections with Charles Dickens, who set the opening chapters of David Copperfield within the parish and the nearby town of Great Yarmouth. Lynn Bensley's article is read by Ian Robertson.
Of all the many lovable, loathsome and contradictory children raised and nurtured in his imagination, it was David Copperfield who Charles Dickens always declared that he loved the most. Like many fond parent, I have in my heart of hearts a favourite child, and his name is David Copperfield. The introductory chapters are told from the perspective of an ill-used child, a plot device that had previously been used in Jane Eyre in 1847 by Charlotte Bronte. And while there is no evidence to suggest that Dickens ever read the novel, it is likely that his close friend and biographer, John Foster, suggested the idea in a first-person chronicle to the author. There has always been much conjecture as to whether Dickens ever visited Blundellston or not. In the Annals of Blundellston, Miss Norman recalls that Dickens visited the Crown Inn twice when her grandfather lived there, while Miss L.H. Taylor, formerly of Blundellston, records that her great-grandfather, Robert Runcie, declared that Dickens visited the village on two occasions while he was staying at Somerleyton Hall. Led by Dr. Batley of Galston, the Dickens Fellowship first visited the village in 1909 to view places pertinent to the story, with the primary aim of attempting to establish where David was born. Blundellston Hall, Blundellston House, and the old rectory were the main contenders, the latter being considered the most favourable with regard to both house design and position relative to the church. Hearsay is no substitute for irrefutable proof, but as Dickens invested so much of himself and his personal anguish in the work, it is not illogical to assume that the man could have chosen a specific location to recount what is unquestionably a fictional tale interwoven with facts. One might hazard a guess that he did visit the church with its taper candle tower and steeply pitched nave, wherein he would have found a plain octagonal font and rows of high-backed pews ranged before an intricately carved rood screen. He may not have found a monumental tablet commemorating Mr. Bodger, late of this parish, it being a mere figment of his imagination, whereas Dearest David was, in his mind, anything but illusory. Several noticeable landmarks in Blundellston have survived to greater or lesser extent since the time of Dickens. The village pound, standing at the junction of Church Road and Pound Lane, is a rare survival. It remained in use until the end of the 1800s and played an important role in village life when drovers regularly passed with herds of livestock. It was the job of the pinder to impound stray animals and feed them until they were collected on payment of a fine. Now serving as a private accommodation, the four-storey corn mill, fitted with patent sails, was originally built around 1820 by a local brickmaker named Benjamin Jackson, who dug the clay from a pit directly behind the mill. Several beer houses and pubs, such as the Warren Arms, the Red Lion and the Crown, previously known as the Malt and Hops and latterly as the Rosary, have long gone, but the Plough, a former coaching inn, remains to offer good cheer. Thought to have been built around 1701, the Plough may well be one of the oldest dwellings within the village, and tethering chains on either side of the main door were known to have been made by Boyce the blacksmith. The sign above the door states that Barkis, the carrier, from the novel David Copperfield by Charles Dickens, started from here. Even if the miserly Barkis was a man of little action and few words and owned the laziest horse in the world, he was inordinately fond of David's housekeeper, the rosy-cheeked Peggotty, and his proclamation that Barkins is willing has become one of the most familiar and regularly quoted lines from Dickens. Were Dickens to return today to look once more from the closet window in his bedroom at the Rookery, he might observe the sundial over the church porch, a welcoming sight to confirm his belief that there is nothing half so green that I know anywhere as the grass of that churchyard, nothing half so shady as its trees, nothing half so quiet as its tombstones. Turning his gaze towards the south, he would most likely be horrified to see the remains of Blundellsham Prison, for Dickens retained a mortal fear of incarceration all his life, following his impecunious father's imprisonment at Marshalsea Debtors' Prison. The shame of his father's insolvency in part spurred Dickens' motivation to succeed, a desire that brought him and his readers literary riches and wonders almost beyond compare.